Good afternoon, and welcome to the Email Class Radio Show. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Jan.
Show number 4.
I know.
How
can it be?
How can it be?
Wow.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I had a fun moment today of realizing just how much, I don't quite know how to say it, but the consciousness of the body has really, really integrated deeply this month. Because I was doing something.
Lovely.
I was scooping sawdust for our composting toilet.
Mm.
And I watched this, the awareness come in of, you know, careful of how you're, you know, not breathing it in, basically.
Uh-huh.
Because it's really not good for the lungs. And I mean, it was all this very, very quick thing, but it happened in slow motion. And then this ego process of, but I don't mind. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm not a wimp that way. I don't care. I mean, it's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, and I also don't have a body.
Exactly. That was the thing. It was like, I don't care. And it's like, well, I mean, that's like the same as saying, you know, I don't know what, you know, you're with a friend.
Go ahead, drive the car off the road.
Yeah.
I don't care. Go
exactly.
ahead, drink rat poison. I don't care.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just seeing that it's not mine. It's not
uh-huh.
my body. It's not my decision. It's not in that ego sense. It really...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
funny. And, you know, I've said this, of course. Well, I've said this 100,000 times, but I'm aware of writing it so often in this class. You know, there's a voice, a disembodied voice inside our head
yeah.
saying these
yeah.
things
yeah.
as if it's us.
Right.
And we are trained to believe that it is.
Yeah.
So don't take care of yourself. Eat junk food. Drink bad stuff. Don't get enough sleep. Be stressed. Listen to terror voices.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's go ahead.
Right.
And we are trained to accept that.
Right.
Well, we were.
Right.
We don't do that any longer.
That's right. We're not those kind of people anymore.
Not anymore. Fortunately. Yeah.
Fortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so just a lot of gratitude for that, because it takes a really concentrated effort to break that unconscious habits, as you say, to really see, no, that isn't me, that isn't me.
Right. Right, because I wouldn't say that to anyone else.
Exactly.
I
right.
certainly wouldn't say that to a child of mine or any child.
Yeah.
So why would I want to believe that for me?
Right.
I was just writing to somebody today. Who was saying the voices of urgency are there. You know, you're too busy. You're too busy to stop for 10 minutes
uh-huh.
in your day. You're going to get behind. It's going to, no, you don't have time for that. Like, really?
You.
Is that,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it's good. It's good we're catching on
yep.
because it's a nasty, nasty system.
Yeah. Yep. It really
mm-hmm.
is.
In fact, with that, the thing about the sawdust and then all these other, you know, go ahead, drink the rat poison.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at this, you know, in that kind of amazed sort of way that we do once we've seen it.
Yeah.
Right? It's
yeah,
perfectly
right.
normal until we see it. And then as soon as we see it, it's like, oh, my goodness, that's insane. And then I thought, but, you know, we're doing the same thing to the earth.
Oh, I know. I know.
So there's my body
yeah.
gets treated this way,
yeah.
and then the body that we all depend on
yeah.
is being so it's not like we, you know, there's a double standard.
Right.
You know, we treat everything the same way.
We're quite consistent.
We're quite consistent when we're identified
yeah.
with that ego system, yeah.
yeah.
And then when we step back from it, you know, we don't want to be treated that way. We don't want to treat anybody else that way
yeah.
from center, and we don't want to treat the earth that way.
Yeah.
So this identification is important.
It is, and it's why I got it in my younger years when I was quite political, that actually waking up was the most effective way I could assist.
Yes.
In everything.
Yes.
In everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you're awake, when you're at center, you want to make kind choices.
Yeah.
And when you're asleep, when you're identified with ego,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And you're always, it's always going to be an unsustainable process of convincing people, no, really, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Really, really, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I mean,
don't do as I do.
What's that?
Do as I, don't do as I do.
Right.
Do as I say.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You people should be different.
So yeah. I want to remind people, if they want to join the conversation, to the way to make Gesho is to press *6, and then it will prompt you to press 1 to be added to the queue of callers.
Good. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. All right, let's take our first caller. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Jen. This is Jeff in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Jeff. What's going on?
How are you
on
tonight?
Well, I'm
What's that?
I said I'm excellent. And yourself?
Oh, that's so great. I am actually really good spiritually, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the body as well tonight.
Uh-huh.
So I want to talk about a couple things that came up in the last few assignments. One of them is we were asked recently to pick a piece of guidance and, you know, kind of explore it with an open mind. And I recently started with a new physical therapist. And in my first session with him, right at the end of the session, he said to me, "You cannot impose your will, even a speck, without paying the price." And so that just really floored me. And so that's what I chose to, to look at. And, you know, I'm still looking at that. And today another teacher asked to, for some help with moving some shelves. And I, at first, jumped out of the way to not be involved, you know, thinking that would be better for the body. And then when there was only three people and four were needed, I got back involved. And, you know, just in those few minutes, and then, you know, so the result of that is there's a new place in the body that, you know, hurts the rest of the day. And so, you know, I'm actually not beating myself up about that, and you know, not really doing anything except noticing at this point, and you know, continuing to pay attention to that. I guess the one thing that you know, that I look in that is if anything, is renewing my resolve, you know, and maybe
Jeff,
even.
Jeff,
what's
can
that?
I ask you something? Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
What
yes.
do you think the physical therapist meant by that?
That's a good question. I didn't actually ask, you know, and that so maybe there was some assuming in there. So I think maybe I'll ask that the next session.
Yeah, because to me it could go a couple of ways.
Mm-hmm.
One, if what he, did you say it's a he?
Yes.
The therapist is a he? Okay. So if what he was saying was, you can't let ego cause you to go unconscious
mm-hmm.
and operate in an unconscious way with your body, then I
mm-hmm.
would be right there.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, you can't, you can't do anything that's going to let's see how should we describe it? So I would say it's really good not to assume anything, but to be present as we do whatever we do with a spirit of inquiry, that would be really good, because the ego would be quick to say, no, in fact, I've known thousands of these people, no, you can never do anything like that again for the rest of your life. And to me, that would be as much an example of will being imposed as anything else. Yeah. So I'm going to move something. I mean, I want to be able to move things, right? I want to be able to move things for the rest of my life. And so I've got to figure out how to move things with absolute conscious awareness in a way that takes care of my body, that makes my body stronger and able to do whatever it is that my body needs to do to be all right for as long as I live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. So kind of to explore the possible assumptions that I've been holding. So I certainly have that aspiration. There's lots of things I'd like to be able to do and hope that I will be able to do again. But it definitely, there has been a moving in the other direction for a while. And there's, I guess the assumption right now has been, until something changes, until there's some kind of shift, there are things I can't do in a healthy way or that sort of thing. Because it seems like every time I do one of them, and there have been an increasing number of them, something else gets injured in a way that lasts for weeks or months or whatever.
Yes. So when I was 27, I was doing building construction, and I lifted something in a way that within a second I was lying down on the ground, rolling around, writhing, and screaming in pain. And I then officially had a bad back. Okay, and because I wanted to continue building, and because primarily I'm a meditator and I wanted to be able to sit cross-legged on the floor until I died of old age, the focus of my entire life became, how do I have the strongest back of any human being? I mean, that's it. What do I need to do in order to be able to do whatever I want to do physically and not be injured? And so that's been the focus. And it's it's yoga and it's weight training and it's Pilates and it's consciously being present in my body every moment, aware of how I'm moving and what muscles are being used and like that. So I am a great proponent of, we can recover from just darn near anything, but what's going to be required is a level of conscious awareness directed toward, kind of from the body inside out, with everything we do always and forever.
Wow. That really, I really love that. That is such a, that really is a paradigm shift. It's actually the kind of physical therapy that I've just started, I think, will be it's awareness based. So
yes.
This will work very well together.
Yes.
What you just said and what I'm just started doing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because the world is full of, okay, well then this means you can't. And I just refuse to accept anybody telling me I can't. It's very popular now, as we see. You can't eat this, and you can't eat that, and you can't do that, and you can't, and you can't. And it's always a forever, right? Not a until you see what needs to happen with your body so that you can X, Y, Z.
Mm.
Yeah? And, again, it's really popular. I mean, I just watched it over time with retreats. You know, people come in with lists as long as your arm of things they can't eat, can't do, can't. And we're becoming a nation and beyond, I suppose, of just lists of things that we can't do, rather than this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm working with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course, you know, our Western medicine is focused on you have a symptom. Well, here's the drug that you need to take to obliterate that symptom, rather than, something's out of balance here. So let's, and, you know, again, reading along with the email class, of course, you know, I'm too busy, I'm too stressed, and so I don't get enough sleep, and I drink too much coffee, and I'm addicted to sugar, and so that's what I'm doing, and these are all the things I can't do because actually over here I'm making a lot of choices that are just flat out not good for a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So this is so great because you know what you're doing is you're pointing me back to awareness practice in terms of the spirit of inquiry, looking for assumptions, discarding assumptions, not knowing, and just practicing a level of awareness that I haven't really even been known to be going for. You know, inside out and just getting to know the body that well and being aware of everything I'm doing, that paying attention that closely, that's the kind of thing that I'll be going for. That moment by moment minute attention is what you're calling me to do, I think.
Yes. And you know, Jeff, the beauty of it is when you are paying attention in that way, again, inside out. So you're right there. You know what you don't put your foot down and not know where your foot is being placed. So the chances of spraining an ankle or injuring a knee or that sort of thing go down to almost zero because you're right there every time you move your foot. The same thing is happening with you on an emotional level, right? So you're right there and that somebody says something or you hear something or there's something that goes on and you're watching the emotional reaction. You're watching the sensations change in your body and how those sensations have various thoughts and various emotions and different kinds of reactions. And you're watching that. And you're right there as a thought comes into existence. Right? So we get that level of paying attention, which of course the voices would take, well, that's impossible, we can't do that. But it's not impossible, and it doesn't take any more time or attention or anything else than being unconscious, right? It's the same thing as involved in being conscious as being unconscious, except in one, we get to have a life, and in the other, we don't. So it's there when you're there. All of that's available to you on a moment-by-moment basis. You get the whole thing, right? So when we're unconscious, we lose the whole thing. You know, we're liable to injure ourselves and mess ourselves up on every level. When we're conscious and present, we get to be here for it all on every level.
Yeah, which I would actually imagine will save a lot of time.
Yeah. So much more efficient, so much more effective, so much more productive. Somebody in the email class just wrote today that she did the exercise, stopped for 10 minutes and meditated several times during the day. More relaxed, more productive, more everything, you know, just flat out had a better day, right, for taking out that time. And the voices are just shrieking, you know, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. But yeah, you can, and you'll be better on every level for doing it.
Yeah. And the last thing that occurs to me is that, and the way to support myself with this is, you know, recording and listening. To make a bunch of recordings about the conversation that you and I have just had, and you know how that minute attention to the body and so on.
Yes, and you listen to them, and you see more, and you record more, and you know it can look like baby steps, right? Mm-hmm. Because the way you are with your body, you know, it can look like, this is going to take the rest of your life, right? But that's not true, because you're practicing being present with yourself, and you're getting stronger every day, and you're actually able to do more because you're more present. You don't hurt yourself when you do, because you will. You go, okay, well, you know, that might have been a little much, so I'm back off from that, and you just keep going.
Mm. Sherry, thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. And I know I can trust you to keep me informed.
Oh, I'm going to keep having conversations about with this with you, I promise. Thank you very much.
Good. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Good night.
Thanks. Good night. Bye now. Bye, Jen.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. That was a great conversation. Wow, I love that thing of we can always know, you know, where when our foot goes down, we're always there for it. And then the parallel of same thing with the mind.
Yes.
We're always there for it.
Yeah, you get the whole deal.
Yeah.
You get to see it all because you're there for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what awareness practice offers us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It is. So I want to remind people who may have joined us since we made the announcement that if you want to make a show, you can press *6, and then it will prompt you to press 1 to put yourself in the queue. All right, we'll take our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello there, it's Diane calling from Santa Rosa.
Well, how are you doing?
Well, I'm very glad I'm with you. I just I was noticing on my way back how conditioning doesn't want me to be calling in at all.
That's right. Doesn't want you to be in the conversation.
No, not at all.
Yep.
So I'm here, and I think I was in the first radio show about the email class. The second one, I quote unquote forgot about it. And then the third one, I scheduled something at the time of it. So, you know, I mean, I think all these eyes are really conditioning did all this. And then what I noticed too is that it's taking my thinking away as I'm talking. So it's really, really good. I'm so glad I'm calling.
To me, what you're pointing at is number one, getting it that this is big, that we are up against a really worthy opponent. That we need to bring everything we've got to this game if we don't want to lose big.
Yes.
Yeah, because our life is at stake. You know, we go unconscious, and just as you've said, you know, it causes us to forget, it distracts us, it talks us out of doing what takes care of us, and if we continue that relationship long enough, pretty soon it's calling all the shots, and what we know is it doesn't like us.
Right.
Yeah?
It's so true, yes. And I just, you know, I feel so grateful for all the support, and wanted to share that really the encouragement to follow the spirit of inquiry has been really, really helpful. And wanted to share this brief experience that I had yesterday morning. So I, I've been trying to get up early enough that I can meditate and stretch and walk before going to work. Mm-hmm. And Monday and Tuesday, I was tired and I couldn't. So I consciously put my alarm clock back an hour so I could sleep, get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. And then by Thursday, by Wednesday night, I noticed conditioning was so strong. So I was still tired. So I decided, okay, let's try with putting my alarm clock at the time that I would, you know. And then the conditioning was like, well, Sherry says it's good to have enough sleep. So I thought, okay, well, it's just for one time. Just let's see what happens. And so I did, and it was hard to get up. And then I stretched and meditated and went for a walk. And during the walk, had a kind of a, what I would say, a good talk to myself, you know, with mm-hmm. the mentor, a good talk with the mentor. And it was so helpful, those 15, 20 minutes walking kind of put me back in the, you know, in life, really, and outside of conditioning. So it was good to notice, okay, well, it was, I do not, you know, I come out of it noticing I do need more sleep, something needs to happen for me to be able to have that, and it was still good to get up early this morning to get that good talk with the mentor.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And that, and it is, isn't it, a perfect example of the spirit of inquiry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, of course, what I'm saying with people, saying to people about the getting enough sleep is this thing that people get into of depriving themselves of sleep so that basically they have more time to give to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so they just stay up late watching videos or, you know, that sort of thing. And there's no reason for it. It's not like, you know, it's not like they're doing any, it's not like they're staying up late to meditate. And so they realize that they're just, then they have to drink more coffee in the morning to get going, and then they're stressed during the day and that sort of thing. And that's the one I want people to bring conscious awareness to. It's not that sometimes, you know, if we're really committed to sort of maximum health, then we will make sure that we get enough sleep at night. And if that means going to bed a little bit earlier so that you can get up in the morning and do those things before you go to work, then that's the choice that we make. We can also sometimes see that there's a belief system going on that I have to go to work in this particular way. You know, I have to go there at this time. I have to. And when we begin to pursue it, we find out that, well, actually, that's not true. I actually have more choices about it than I've been allowed to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So
it is.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it is a revolutionary undertaking, really, because, you know, it puts everything into question. It just, you know, if there's not enough sleep, you know, then what does it mean about the current schedule? And then, you know, I don't, just doing all the practices that we've been doing with the email class, for example, noticing the beauty of the world, mm-hmm. noticing what works, noticing all that. I think that's actually what sparked the onslaught of conditioning.
Yes.
Was so amazing. It was so amazing. And it just was, there was so much beauty that it was almost overwhelming, and so much abundance came out of it that I didn't think could happen. So
yes, and you're right. You're right, and I want to underline it again for everybody. When we start doing this kind of stuff, conditioning is just going to go into warp drive to try to get us back into what's wrong and what's not working, and that endless loop inside conditioned mind. It's true. It will. And so we must steadfastly commit to, no, I want to see beauty. If it's overwhelming, if the amount of beauty is overwhelming, I'm willing to be overwhelmed. Right? If the joy starts feeling like it's too much for me, you know, I'm just going to risk it, and I'm just going to keep right on. Yeah? Because it's going to try to get us back. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you. And now my next step is to try to get myself to the monastery for a retreat, which is, oh, boy, there's a lot of lot of resistance. But
you can do it. We know that. You can do it. All right. Well, it's great to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Dion. And the beauty is pretty overwhelming, Sherry, actually.
It is.
I've been noticing that as I take, especially my morning walks. And I pass the same things, quote unquote, every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, the minute differences, the changes in things from day to day is astounding.
Well, yes, and just being there for darn near anything.
I know.
Right? I mean, you know, conditioning would say, but it needs to be,
right.
You know, something extraordinary, different, something I've never seen before.
Right.
But when I just look at that plant, it's astounding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This spring, I have so many recordings of, like, describing the intricacies of that bud and...
Those Mariposa lilies. And how about that rainstorm yesterday?
Oh, my goodness. So we should just fill people in on that. So,
talk about beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Huge drought. Haven't had any rain. And we had a little tiny chance of rain on Tuesday, and it didn't happen. Nothing.
Yeah, I know. So much disappointment.
So much disappointment. And then Wednesday, you know, 0% chance of rain. And then what? I don't know. Was it like 4 o'clock or something?
Yeah, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was just getting ready to go out and get some exercise. I'd taken about 5 steps out of my front door, and it was like somebody turned a fire hose on, right?
Yeah, just torrential.
Fabulous.
For like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Yeah, and then everything smelled so good. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but anyway.
Enough about us.
and our beautiful lives. Let's hear about other people's beautiful lives.
There you go.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hey, Sherry, did it rain on you too?
We've been getting a little bit, although I was out of town for a couple weeks, so it was. I was in Ohio, and we had the most amazing thunderstorms. It was, talk about, it was so wonderful.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, in Ohio, it gets to be too much of a good thing.
I kept saying, I wish I could take some of this rain back with me. I wish I could take it back.
And
I know.
Sometimes they say, we wish you could take it back.
I know.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
Well, actually, I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about, but what just dropped in was, it was really interesting for me I was with my mom for a couple of weeks, which was really wonderful. I love spending time with her. And my patterns, my eating patterns, my exercise patterns change drastically when I'm not at home, you know, when I'm somewhere else. And especially, you know, in the Midwest, it's just kind of funny. It's just that, you know, people tend to eat a little bit differently than here. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that, you know, was so amazing to watch, especially the day I was there when the email class came out that you guys were talking about, where it was like focusing on the good, the beautiful, what is right. Mm-hmm. And I just loved that because I hadn't really noticed it so much, but I was getting some self-talk about, you know, how I was eating and how I wasn't exercising as much. But it enabled me to just totally, like, turn it around and look at, like, hey, you know, this walk to the store felt really good. And that time I did yoga in the morning. And I just totally could look at, like, I started adding up all of the things I was doing to take care of my body instead of, you know, oh, gee, that root beer float you had with Wes the other, you know, that kind of thing.
Root beer float.
It was actually really good. Sitting on the porch, looking at the rain, having a root beer float.
With your mother.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, you're with your mother. You're.
And so I loved that class came at the perfect time for me to just really like, and to just like love it all. I think that was the thing. You know, like I could love the days I got up and did yoga and took care of myself that way. And I could also love the days I got up and we did a crossword puzzle and just hung out together, just sitting in the kitchen. You know,
it was all
beautiful.
Yes, yes. When there is no comparison. No comparison, no assessment. So there's no comparison. This day is not less because it consists of this and not that. You know, the thing that I find myself writing and over and over and over, and I suppose saying, but I'm more aware of it now in writing, is that we are conditioned to believe that what those voices are talking to us about is something they care about. And they don't. They don't care at all. If you never did yoga, if you never exercised, if you never ate a decent thing for the rest of your life, they don't care. They don't care. And so if they don't care, and it's really important that we get that, because we can watch, you know, they'll go to this side of the duality and then to that side of the duality, right? So whatever it is that they're talking about, they're only talking about it so that we will listen to them talk about it and preferably feel bad as a result of it. That's all that's going on. So if our focus is to enjoy life, to be grateful for every moment we have, to take in all the beauty, to feel and to share all of the love that we're capable of. If that's what we choose to do, then it really behooves us to stop having conversations about stuff that even the person talking to us doesn't care about. Yeah? And also, of course, to remember, it's not a person.
I love that.
Yeah,
and what I've been really, really, really grateful to be noticing throughout this whole time we've been focusing on the body is how much those voices, I mean, they talk to me a lot about doing things that are good for me, right? Like, but it's always like with this thing of like, you should do yoga because, or you should go take a walk because. And I've loved this focus, you know, that we've been doing on the body because I feel like there's been this shift to just like, wow, it really feels wonderful to do this in my body or for my body, like without any sort of like because attached to it.
That's right. No shoulds and no because.
Yeah. Like there was always some ulterior motive that I felt like it's like, you know, like some sort of like workhorse, you know, that I'm taking care of. So I could carry more weight, you know?
Yeah. Well, and so that you can be set up to be told that you're not doing enough.
Yes.
Right? If we weren't keeping track, if we just went about in life doing what life is calling us to do, if there were no keeping score, we wouldn't know that we're not doing well. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it would be much more like one of the things I've noticed too that I've been so grateful for is there might just be a moment of like, hey, you know, yoga. Like it'll just drop in.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Not
planned.
Yeah. Like it's just in the body saying, you know, this would be a really fun thing right now. And it's so different than like you're saying, keeping score and well, I've got to go to yoga because I only went once this week and now, you know, that whole awful.
Right, and the thing is, we're not allowed to do yoga when we want to do yoga.
Right.
Right? So if you say, you know, it's 2:00 in the afternoon, and you think, well, I feel like doing yoga. Well, you can't do yoga now. You've got to do blah 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 blah. You've got to put yoga on the schedule and make it a should and a thing that you need to do and that you feel bad about if you don't. That's the scam. That's the thing that we're falling for and don't see. That's how we're being controlled.
Yes. Oh, I love this so much. I mean, I have noticed that. I think it's like, it's just almost by osmosis, by, you know, I think everybody just looking at it and processing it together and everything, that it's like, I have noticed so many more of those moments. Even like when I was at my mom, it'd be like, oh, I'm going to do a handstand, a headstand, or just like suddenly just like, that's it. Doesn't have to be more. Doesn't have to be a, you know,
yeah,
big thing.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah. And we used to be that way all the time, right?
Yeah.
Before we became serious adults.
That's right.
And I suspect, of course, we've made a lot healthier choices for ourselves, and certainly our stress level was less.
Mm. Yeah, what a great reminder. I'm glad you brought that in about, like, the way that children, because they do just do that. Like, they just dump for a couple minutes, and then they're done. They sit and read a book,
yeah,
or what, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Well, good.
Well, thank you.
Nice,
welcome
nice
home.
Check-in. Ah,
yeah.
Thank you.
Glad to hear from you. Take care.
All right.
Take care,
Megan.
Bye, Sherry. Thanks for calling. Good night. That's so true. I just have that image of the headstand thing. It's, kids don't call it yoga, but they do it all the time.
Right.
They're constantly doing that, you know, and like crazy limber stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we of course, we lose that because we have to do it on schedule in a class and then get talked out of doing it. And
It's exactly the conditioned process. We start calling it something and schedule it and make it into something. You know, our yoga teacher talks about every system of movement is just something someone made up at some point.
Uh-huh.
Which is
just
a good reminder.
Yeah, and we could make it up.
Right.
We could just do whatever our bodies feel like at the time.
Well, very good. All right, we've got lots more callers, so let's take the next person. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Sherry. It's Greta.
Hi, Greta.
Hi.
What's going on in Greta's world?
Well, it's interesting to listen to the other callers because, you know, I kind of forgot the email class was about the body. So I was just kind of sitting here going, oh, yeah, because I've just been able to I think do this class with more intention than any other class and just keep seeing how conditioning is operating, you know, and looking at the choices that I want to make instead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the content of it really has kind of been irrelevant for you. You're looking at the process of the relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Right. I certainly started out with the body, and I've been doing the exercises as assigned and working diligently to do the exercises as assigned, which is one place conditioning always gets me. And
Greta, would you say more about that? Just because that's big. I want to hear you say more about that, if you would.
Okay. Well, there's two. I guess I've observed at least two ways in which conditioning gets me. I have a part of me that does everything right, you know, Miss Perfect, and then there's a rebel part of me that says, you know, you're not the boss of me. I'll do it my way. You can't tell me what to do. So when that system gets operating, then conditioning exploits those young persons, then I either don't read the assignment correctly or I fall for it and go with, I don't feel like doing exactly what's assigned. I'm going to, you know, adjust.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I've learned, and you have pointed out many times that, you know, there's a reason that it's written like that, and so that's how, you know, that's what we're being asked to do.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And the value in that, right?
Right.
I mean, we're doing awareness practice, and we're in a class, and so, you know, somebody says this, and the process of how we are with that will show us how we are with all of life, right? Because if we are not free to choose what we want to do, if we are required to react and go along with the reaction, so with that young part of you, that rebel part of you, it seems like that's freedom, right?
Exactly.
But there isn't any freedom in it, because
right.
when that reaction is there, you have no choice except to go along with it.
And that is an interesting process. So I'm going to come back to that in a second, but I want to say the other way that conditioning gets me is just kind of stupid dust, like I read the assignment and I just get confused. But the part of me that rebels, that is operating all the time, you know, and that's one of the things about this class that's been so helpful is I've seen like another layer that I thought was me. And
so,
then I realized it's conditioning. You know, I was going about in the world and I kind of was operating in this way. And then I realized, oh, no, that isn't me. That's conditioning. And this rebel, you know, it's like, well, I want the cookie. Well, you know, you can't tell me not to have the cookie. You know, I'm showing you that I can be the boss of myself by having the cookie anyway. And that whole thing is a huge conditioned process that has nothing to do with me and making choices out of freedom, as you said.
I am so grateful to hear you say that because, of course, I always have the strongest suspicion that those rebels are actually not legitimate parts of us. They are just karmic conditioning, using an aspect of us. But definitely it's not coming from an authentic place because, well, it's just not.
I actually see that subpersonality as somebody that was a major part of my survival system. But yes, conditioning has used that to say, well, you should rebel against everything all the time instead of, wait a minute, here's practice. Where's the person who wants to practice? Let's take a look at practice.
Yes, and let's rebel where it is appropriate and takes care of you.
Rebel against conditioning.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, if you want to say no to something, say no to those hateful voices. Yeah.
And so I will tell you what I did with this class that is just how I started working with it, and I've done it very consistently through the whole class, which is to record the assignment and then listen to it over and over and over again. And that way, you know, I'm really working with my attention and any of those places where conditioning wants to come in and make it foggy, I realize I missed that, and I just roll the recorder back and I listen again. And then I can record and listen as I'm listening. You know, I can stop and record and go back and back and forth.
Yes, and isn't it just, my favorite, sobering and inspiring, to realize how quickly it can drop that stupid dust or distract us, you know, right in the middle of a sentence that I'm really trying to listen to, and I'm gone, off thinking about something else. You know, it's really good to see that because it does strengthen our resolve to direct the attention, to be the boss, to be the boss of the attention.
Yeah, I would say that's what this class has really shown me because I'm amazed how, you know, almost everything that happens, I can just see the conditioning in it unless I'm there directing my attention. And then as you say, it's a hair's breadth and whoop, my attention is gone. And I had this experience today. I have really looked forward to my walk with the mentor so I could work on the email class, and I've been doing that pretty much every day that I have the day to myself. And today I was doing that. I was recording and listening, and then I noticed something blooming, and I stopped to take a picture of it. And then it was like I was on another planet. There was a shift somehow with my attention and the camera, and it was, I put my headphones back on, I was listening, but there was this whole other thing going on, and I was just, and I recorded about that, because it was like, whoa, how did I get from this real strong focus of the, and, you know, attention, intention, suddenly I couldn't get it, you know, I couldn't get it back. Yep.
Right. Yeah. And, again, that is the point of what we're doing, right?
Yep.
It's not getting to some perfect, idealized state of awareness. It's seeing how all of it happens, being present for all of it as it unfolds.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing is what I would rather, you know, how I would rather have my life be, where I would rather be spending my time and my energy, and how I would rather be with life, and how I can affect that that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of what I'm up against, because I've never seen so much conditioning. It's amazing.
It is. And the work then is not to be overwhelmed by it, right? Because then conditioning wants to come in and say, oh, this is too much. This is, you know, you're never going to. You can't take this on. I mean, look at where you've been. Look at the number of years it's taken you to get here. Oh, forget it. And that's just another scam.
Right. Well, like I said the last time I called, I'm really glad we're all upping our game together, because that support makes me feel that I can take it on and I can just keep going. And this really intensive practice has just been great. I'm pretty excited about it.
Good. Me too. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Talk to you soon. Good night.
Good night, Greta. Thanks for joining us. And Sherry, I think we have time for at least one more caller.
Good.
So here we go. Next caller, you're now live. Sharon, would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello. Might not realize.
There.
Are you there?
Hello.
Caller?
Hello. Hello.
Next caller, you're live on the air. Are you there? I can hear someone. No.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
You're live on.
Stop meeting like this.
You're live on the email class radio show. Can you hear us?
I'm not sure if this is me or not.
It is you.
Oh, you are.
You are definitely you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. I didn't hear the unmuted part.
So,
this is Lauren, San Diego.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
Good. take a breath and get over the shock, okay?
Well, it's really an interesting process, because I've been listening to the radio show as we've been driving to a hotel, checking into a hotel, putting all our bags in, like, and, you know, so doing it. So it was this interesting process of, do I get on the radio show tonight and do it, or do I miss it? Well, because the timing. And so I just decided it wasn't worth missing.
Good
and,
for you.
And I might get called upon in the middle of something. So,
And you
here
did.
We are.
Yes, so we can file that under intuition.
Yes. Okay, so what do I actually want? You know, one of the things that I've been really noticing with the email class that I've been is fitness, is really the piece around sleep has been really showing up, of how I'm constantly in a pattern of not enough sleep, make a plan, go to bed early. You know, the whole thing with everything else, except I'm really seeing it around sleep.
Uh-huh.
And with my Zen Awareness coach, what we had come up with a plan of, I actually wasn't allowing myself to take my phone into my room for a period of time.
Mm.
And bought an alarm clock, and it was working really well until I started bringing my phone back into my room.
And let me ask you this. Were you aware that a decision was made about that, or did you just kind of one day realize, oh, phone's back in my room?
the latter. Yeah, the latter.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fascinating. We had done a little rearranging of our house and moved, you know, the clock and everything. I set it up. But after that move, all of a sudden, my phone started getting plugged right next to my bed again. And it wasn't until last night that when I was up way past my suggested time to go to bed that I was realizing. And, you know, the amazing observation of the urge of I saw it, I was watching it, I'm on the phone, and the pull, it's like being under hypnosis.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what it's like. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the not fear in it, but in a way of like, well, it's just that urges are not that seriousness of this, of how easily it just takes over.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the hypnosis thing, it's true, because we never hear you're getting very sleepy, but it's happening. You know, that watch is going over there, and then pretty soon we're just gone. We're just gone.
Yes.
And we come to, at some point later on, completely surprised by what has happened while we were gone.
Yeah.
Like the phone moved back into the bedroom. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that has really shifted in not just with the email class, but with the, so increasing in meditation and consistent meditation, doing the stop, drop, and text, which has been so phenomenal. The email class, the Zen Awareness coaching, it just feels like practice is everywhere. And so there's very little room to go unconscious for too long.
Yes. Yeah, somebody's gonna do something to wake you up, huh?
Yeah, and you know,
yeah,
one of
you've invited all these people into your life.
Yeah, and it's just a really beautiful thing. And I think I heard you guys talking about it the last radio show or whatever, but the experience now is one from, I really need to be doing this. I should sign up for that. I, you know, all of that too. I really want to. And when I miss something, I actually miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a completely different relationship to it.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And that, to me, that shift, and boy, is that an important shift.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually getting, this is how my life feels when I'm practicing. This is how I want to feel.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's no more, oh, well, that's too much. I don't. Because the very process of getting talked out of doing something that makes me feel good, you know, that whole conversation is designed to make me feel bad on the way to feeling bad. And as soon as we hear the difference between the enthusiasm for being present and that sliding into unconsciousness, you know, we just know the choice is made.
Yeah.
And as you say, then when I miss something, I'm disappointed. I don't feel bad. I don't get beaten for it. I'm just disappointed. Darn, I wanted to do that. Shoot.
Yes. Yes, and you know, I have to really say this, really, I'm excited about it, but I've really made a shift around the recording and listening as well, of that same thing of getting over the hump to, I know I need to do this, it's really good, everybody says this is it, okay, and to, I actually turn to it now for the support that I'm looking for. I'm excited to, the other day I made a recording about how exciting it was that I actually, that the mentor knew exactly what to say to me.
Yeah.
And I'd get up in the morning and part of my routine was listening to the podcast and everything. And so actually what's been, while I still love doing that, I actually want to listen to one of my recordings first.
Yes.
Which I never, ever would have imagined happening. I kind of thought, yeah, I'll do this thing, but I don't know if it's ever really going to turn into that thing that, you know, Sherry keeps talking about. It's so wonderful.
Uh-huh. I am so glad to hear you say that. I swear. You know, the other drum that I beat on constantly is the number of people who are reporting to me that depression is a part of their their history and they're recording and listening. And, you know, it's kind of like an AA program or something. You know, I've been doing this for this long and I haven't experienced a depression in the whole time I've been doing it. And so, yeah, getting over that hump and getting to that place of, oh, yeah, yeah, this is the person I want to live with. I mean, this is my most intimate relationship. I have close relationships, other close, but this is the one. This is the one I want to keep with me, close to me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's just it's really that constant thing, and I've really made the shift around if I forget something or if I get off track or if I, you know, and that's where the stop, drop, and text is really happening, because I can't really go into a whiny story with this person I'm texting.
Right.
I really am required to really actually look for my mentor's voice, like, what do I want to focus on? And I have to do it in 50 words or less.
Uh-huh.
And so it's been really helpful to just access the focus I want to take.
Yes, yes. And making that choice over and over and over and over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so exciting, isn't it?
Yep, it is. So it's all wonderful, and I'm so grateful and thankful to all of you for all that you do, and so grateful to be a part of it.
I know exactly how you feel. And it sounds like you're off to a holiday weekend, something or other. So have a fabulous time.
I am planning on it.
All right, good.
I intend to do so. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Boy, that's one to lift for the recording and listening blog.
Oh, maybe she'll do that.
Yeah.
Or, I see. There must be a process by which we do that. Okay, good. Well, we'll ask her if it's okay, because that really is true. And it's just thrilling, beyond thrilling for me that more and more people are having that experience.
Yeah.
Just,
you know, but I think like anything, it's so great to have, you know, people's experiences across the board with it, in the sense of one person, you know, the minute they do it, it's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. I can't believe it. And for someone else, maybe it's going to take longer. And so it's really neat to hear people who have really hung in there with it.
Yes, yes. And this class, this email class, this current one, more than any of the others, people are saying, massive resistance, did it anyway.
Yeah.
And had a fabulous time.
Yeah.
You know, had an amazing experience.
Exactly.
And that's, of course, that just, you know, warms my heart.
Yeah.
That's what's required of us. Yeah, okay, there's all that resistance. Yeah, there's all that. Yes, of course there is.
Yep.
I'm going to do it anyway, because that's who I am, and that's what I've committed to, and that's the life I want.
Yeah, yeah. So that is so perfect for, we're coming up, well, we're actually past the hour, a couple of minutes past the hour, but just thank you so much, as always, for that perseverance in modeling that for us, you know, in the email class, in everything that's being offered, just that, yes, this is the way, and, you know, conditioning pulls us off, but there's always Sangha, there's always someone who's back,
there is.
You know, pulling the...
And Jen, you're one of those. So make a recording about that, okay?
I will.
Thank her for showing up so consistently, week after week.
I will do that. And I bet you, before you know it, we'll be back here for the next class.
I bet you we will. I'm looking forward to it already.
And I know that you love the email classes, but I was thinking when you were talking to Jeff about the, you know, you decide you really want to train up your back. I bet your arms and your fingers are now in that same camp.
Oh, they are.
You have the strongest fingers in the...
Arnold Schwarzenegger fingers. Yes.
So they'll probably enjoy a little break for a while.
Maybe. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Jen.
Good night.
Good night.